Hello and welcome. This is your host, Ken D. Foster. It's really glad to have you on the show today. I know you could be doing a whole bunch of things, but it's great that you're tuning into this. A lot of you believe that you see reality clearly, but I've been coaching people for over 30 years and have to say a lot of people do not see reality clearly. When I start out coaching somebody, I usually give them a little evaluation. And I just ask them things like, on a scale of 1 to 10, how is your financial life? How is your health? How is your relationship with the ones that you love? How is your friendships? You know, we go down this list, right? And inevitably, most people that walk at least into my door have, you know, anywhere from 3s to maybe 7s or 8s in those areas. And why is that? Is it because that they've made poor choices along the way? Well, yes. But is it because maybe they didn't know the what I would say is truth for them? They didn't get the truth. So they made poor choices, poor errors in their thinking, which resulted in suffering, pain, misery, challenges for them. And, you know, on the other side, you know, we learn from things, we grow, we evolve in that piece. That's wonderful. But what if you could make better choices? What if you could have plans in your life and be able to see things and be able to use deductive reasoning in a greater way, be able to see what others don't see, right? And be able to make choices that would really empower your life. Well, that's what this show is all about today. Today, as the show is, we're calling it The Courage to See Reality Clearly. And you won't want to miss this show. I've got a great guest that has been a friend of mine for decades. We're going to bring him on because he sees things different than most anybody. And he lives a life of human excellence. I'll be right back with my guest and we'll get the conversation going. Are you ready to transform your life and get what you really want? Hi, this is Ken D. Foster, and over the past 30 years, I've helped thousands of people change the course of their lives by doing one special thing daily. This is the foundation of my latest book, The Courage to Change Everything. It is the ultimate guide to awakening the transformative power within you to get what you want. In this book, I'll teach you exactly how to unlock your hidden potential, break through your limitations, and get what you want, no matter what's happening in the economy or things beyond your control. So why wait? Get your copy of The Courage to Change Everything right now at couragetochange.us. That's couragetochange.us. There's no risk to you if you're not fully satisfied that this book has supported you in getting what you want, just to return it for a full refund.
Whether because of discomfort, lack of mobility, your lifestyle, or occupation, you sit inactively way too many hours a day. Introducing Ellipse, the premium quality automatic seated exerciser that strengthens legs, increases mobility, and boosts circulation without physical strain or impact.
It is so quiet that none of my coworkers even know I'm using it.
Strengthen and tone your legs. Increase your mobility, flexibility, and balance. Plus, stimulate healthy circulation.
My joints feel better, my knees feel better, my back feels better. It makes me feel stronger too.
Perfect for home therapy. Whisper quiet to use while you work.
My circulation is moving, I'm burning calories, and it makes me feel energetic.
Call now and order Ellipse, the seated exerciser that strengthens legs, increases mobility, and boosts circulation. Call and get upgraded to the deluxe bundle. Get the faster motor for 5 miles of steps per hour, the step counter, the sport mat, and wireless remote. Call now.
Well, welcome back, everybody. As I mentioned, my special guest and friend of a couple decades, Mr. J.D. Muma, is joining us today. J.D., it's great to have you, bud.
Thank you. It's great to be here, Ken. Really.
Well, for those of you that don't know J.D., he is a high school dropout who decided he wanted to find what would work for him in his life. So he started studying people that were very successful. He actually ended up training for the Olympics. He has worked with worked with and in many of the very famous health spas around the country, and specifically in San Diego. He is a man that I would call in search of human excellence. He's been that way for many years. He's also been my mentor. He's trained, you know, he took me when I was just kind of waking up on this path and started teaching me ways to be able to bring more excellence in my life and shift everything from the way I ate to the way I thought. Well, maybe it started with thinking first, and then the way I ate, the way I exercised, the way I did relationship and everything else. He has helped so many people. He's been a human excellence coach for many years, and he's helped them with mental excellence. And I would call you, JD, an accelerator. People come to you and you accelerate their thinking to a place where they can really understand how to make the right choices. So anyway, I'm glad to have you, my friend, and let's start down this path. So JD, when you use the term science and truth, what do you mean by science and truth? Are there different types of science, different types of truth?
There can be different types of science. I'm going to start off with truth first. There are different types of truth. Some of the major categories of truth being correspondence, coherence, and I'm reading notes here because I don't have all of it memorized. There's a lot to consider. Pragmatic, constructivist. In the realm of logic, though, and reasoning, that which can be validated as being true in accordance with facts, these would be objective. Facts, not subjective, which we can get into the difference between those two, that are verifiable, objective, and falsifiable. So any of those terms we can go over. And as far as science, you want to stop at truth or go on with science?
No. Well, let's go with the science piece too. So we're setting the foundation here. Go ahead.
Yeah. So the term science is kind of loose, but science goes based on a method, and there's variances in how it's done, but the scientific method begins with scientists forming a question. They make an observation, and then they develop a hypothesis, and then they acquire knowledge through observation and experiments to either support or disprove their specific theory. And ideally, they're going to throw everything they can at it to disprove themselves, and what they're left with should stand up to scrutiny, especially among those that would be their peers in the field that are experts in their area. So not just generally the public that's flipping through Facebook. So we can differentiate that as well.
Well, when we think, let's jump back into truth, because you gave a lot of different categories of truth. But the one that I think a lot of people get hung up in is subjective truth versus objective truth. So yes. Someone goes down and they see, the sky looks red to them. You know, it's subjective. But, you know, when the scientists measure the color and there's, it's actually not red. It's a blue color that's been tainted. Yeah. What, I don't know if that's a great analogy, but.
Well, sure.
Yeah.
The individual may have color blindness, and what they're seeing is maybe more gray or black rather than the color that blue that maybe a lot of people see. And when we say that, like a scientist would measure, they would use objective instruments, not just their eyes, because our brain can't see all of the spectrum of frequencies, and we have biases and interpretations and all that. So we tend to use things that are more reliable, but specific reliability. So that might be different types of fractometers, I guess, in this case. I'm not an expert in light color measurement or any of that, but yes. So yeah, the individual might see, and maybe they're looking at a different area, maybe they're looking more at the clouds, or like, oh, you know, it looks kind of whitish than bluish. So yes, that would be one of many examples.
Okay, JD, so what I'd like to get to is, how do people actually see or know what truth is? So I got to take a quick break. But when we come back, how do we know what truth is, right? Because people are making choices all the time. They believe they're a good choice. They believe they see the truth, but they don't. So I'm going to be right back, and we're going to discuss that.
Are you ready to transform your life and get what you really want? Hi, this is Ken D. Foster, and over the past 30 years, I've helped thousands of people change the course of their lives by doing one special thing daily. This is the foundation of my latest book, The Courage to Change Everything. It is the ultimate guide to awakening the transformative power within you to get what you want. In this book, I'll teach you exactly how to unlock your hidden potential, break through your limitations, and get what you want, no matter what's happening in the economy or things beyond your control. So why wait? Get your copy of The Courage to Change Everything right now at couragetochange.us. That's couragetochange.us. There's no risk to you if you're not fully satisfied that this book has supported you in getting what you want. Just return it for a full refund.
Hi, everyone watching at home. We're here to remind you that if you or someone you know were injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have live agents available right now to answer your questions and tell you how much your case is potentially worth. Hi, I'm Gina Belich, here with spokesman and TV personality Tom Mustin with us in the Help Center. So, Tom, phones are really busy over there. Tell us what kind of calls you're seeing.
Well, Gina, first off, thank you for having me here in the call center with you. We always enjoy talking to the viewers and getting folks the compensation that they deserve. You know, we're seeing calls about all kinds of accidents, but the most common by far has been car accidents. So if you or someone you know were injured in an accident that was not your fault, give us a call right now. You'll speak with a live person. They'll answer any questions you have and tell you if you have a case and how much your case is potentially worth.
Thanks, Tom. All right, folks at home, you heard it. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now.
Are you ready to take charge of your health and well-being? UK Health Radio is your ultimate digital destination for cutting-edge health information and inspiration. At UK Health Radio, we know that good health is not merely the absence of disease, but a state of complete physical, mental, and emotional well-being. Tune in to our wide range of expert-led shows where renowned health professionals share about the latest research, practical tips, and inspiring stories that will motivate you to live your healthiest life. Don't settle for anything less than vibrant health. Tune in to UKHealthRadio.com, the world's number one talk health radio and podcast platform.
Well, welcome back, everybody. I'm with Human Excellence founder J.D. Mumo. We're discussing how do we know what truth is right now? What is truth? How do we know it's true? I think that's an important question for people to answer.
Yeah. So I've broken it down. So one simple model that I've created is just a side-by-side comparison of what I would refer to as a genuine truth seeker versus a pseudo truth seeker. And it's not to disparage anybody. It's just that they might not be able to comprehend or have, say, truth literacy or the various areas like science literacy and mental self-defense literacy, various areas like understanding fallacies, having literacy in fallacies. And when the term isn't always used with grammar, it's expanded beyond that now. So it's not just understanding the words, but it goes beyond that. So in the column of truth seeker, as I'll do side by side here, epistemic virtues. So epistemic is, or epistemology is the study of knowledge. How do we acquire knowledge? It's more about how we go about finding out whether something's true or not. And it's called epistemology, or shortened to epistemic. And so there are epistemic virtues, the good, and epistemic vices. So virtues would be, they would be well defended and they'd be able to understand truth better, whereas their epistemic vices, they're using things that aren't going to defend themselves so well from misinformation. Second would be, so there's 14 here. Next would be whether they're courageous. Are they more like a hero or a champion, or are they more cowardly and victim? What it takes to be courageous for finding out information is you want to be able to have someone challenge your beliefs and not just say, well, this is true, and you just have to accept it, and that's the end of it. And but it takes humility, intellectual humility, and work, and offering, say, what, here's the method I went through to find out this information. Here's the steps I took. And when people say things like, oh, you know, do your research, I will often ask, please explain to me the research that you did so that I can better understand how you do research. And typically they don't answer because what's usually considered their research is flipping through some things that confirm their bias. It's usually an innate bias, subconscious, that they're unaware of. But it's rare that I find somebody that says, well, I did this and I did this and I wanted to make sure that my biases weren't involved, so I double checked, and I actually looked in areas that disconfirm my belief. Most people want to confirm, so it's they feel safer in their beliefs, there's also the tribe involved. So number three is genuine truth seekers seek truth over their tribe or their community or their team or group. We are very social, social creatures. And we tend to it's almost like a hierarchy that for several areas of our life, that we're going to choose, well, what does the tribe that I'm belong to believe? Because I want to maintain that tribe. And that's just hardwired, so to speak, into our brain. That just for survival reasons, because if we got kicked out of the tribe on the, you know, maybe Sahara Desert, it was possibly death on our own. So we, and it's just a lot of benefits, huge benefits for us being social creatures, and how many things that we have accomplished because of us working in groups. And so the opposite of that would be that their tribe for the pseudo tree. Truth seeker would be their tribe over truth. They're prioritizing groupthink over truth. So it's challenging to get people to think outside of their tribal mindset. And a lot of people just aren't aware that that's what is going on in their mind. Number four is to be curious, genuinely curious, inquisitive and questioning versus the dogmatic and righteous and inflexible. So some people might say open-minded, closed-minded. And number five would be vigilant, on guard and cautious versus being careless, negligent, impetuous, and defenseless. Number six is responsible. So I ask people sometimes, would you consider not researching this information that you just kind of collected and passed on? You're kind of parroting this information to be socially responsible. And often I won't get a response back because that challenges. Oftentimes people are just sharing information and not being responsible to check it first. And part of that is being empathetic. How will this come across? You know, is it possible that the information that I just learned that I think is true, maybe not true, and simply passing it on might be apathetic and irresponsible. Number seven, there's a term called intellectual indolence, and that's a fancy way of saying laziness, intellectual laziness. We prefer things to be easy and simple, not effort. And people that are genuine truth seekers go through the effort, take the time, they pause. And what Daniel Kahneman and his co-author would consider to be slow thinking versus fast thinking. So we pause and go, you know, maybe I'm, don't know. I'll have to do some research on that and look into it. So it's going to take effort, contemplativeness, reflectiveness, methodological, active, being engaged rather than laziness and intellectual indolence, which I mentioned, reactive, reflexive, impulsive, passive. So they're not really engaged. Number eight is to learn and unlearn, to be humble, to be open-minded, curious, rather than righteous and arrogant and closed-minded. Narrow-mindedness is another one, or you might hear the term myopic thinking, kind of narrow tunnel vision, not seeing all the what's possible. And nuances, that's what, there's nuances in things rather than it, everything being black and white. So it's another term for that is called gray thinking or thinking gray, spectrum thinking versus binary or black and white thinking, dichotomous thinking, all or nothing thinking, narrowed scope. The challenge is partly that our school system has more set us into black and white thinking. We tend to get over a decade of questions on tests that there's maybe five answers and you have to pick one. So there's a question. So it's not like, well, it could be part of one. It could be a little of two, 20% of three and 40% of this. No, it's there's one right answer and all the other are wrong. So it's this constant binary thinking. And also you have to be very fast. So it's not like, you know, take your time, do some research. It's got it. You're under the gun, so to speak. Don't want to bring that up, but you're under pressure to think quickly rather than take your time. Maybe use some resources to get better information. So we're used to, you know, one of the things in our in the school system is the people who can parrot the information the best get the best grades. So it's not critical thinking a whole lot. It's more, you know, can you get good grades at the end of the day on the test, which is you're basically repeating what you learned rather than coming up with maybe other answers that weren't there or different things. So number 10 is to be self-cautious of your own thinking rather than just you totally trust what's ever in your mind. So there are a lot of reasons why we shouldn't trust our mind as our last end-all be-all. And that's why we use things, as mentioned, objective. So if, the subject would be you, and the object we would be outside of ourselves or using things to measure. Like I may not be able to tell whether I have a fever or not. I might just have a stomach sickness, which is not a fever, which raises my temperature. But to test that, I could use a thermometer either in my mouth or somewhere else under the armpit or another area. And that would give the thermometer, hopefully, is measured correctly and would give me objective measurements as to my temperature. And it might be higher than my intuition told me or lower. And I could use, you know, multiple instruments. I could have a couple in the house and see if they all measured the same or very close. So number 11 is sound reasoning, and sound by not auditory sound, but something is like that it's put together well. So it's reliable, it's testable, it's falsifiable. It's falsifiable being that would there be a way that would you could set up that would make this false in testing. So versus fallacious reasoning, and fallacies are errors in reasoning and logic. So irrational, untestable, false dilemma, willful naivety, emotional reasonings, which aren't so reliable. They can be in certain situations, but they're not so dependable. Wishful thinking, magical thinking, superstitions, conspiracism. Number 12. We're almost there.
Okay. Well, hold on. Skeptical. Hold on. I gotta take a break. So I gotta pay a bill here.
All right.
So let me take a break and we'll come right back. We'll get number 12.
Perfect.
We'll be right back.
Are you ready to transform your life and get what you really want? Hi, this is Ken D. Foster. And over the past 30 years, I've helped thousands of people change the course of their lives by doing one special thing daily. This is the foundation of my latest book, The Courage to Change Everything. It is the ultimate guide to awakening the transformative power within you to get what you want. In this book, I'll teach you exactly how to unlock your hidden potential, break through your limitations, and get what you want, no matter what's happening in the economy or things beyond your control. So why wait? Get your copy of The Courage to Change Everything right now at couragetochange.us. That's couragetochange.us. There's no risk to you. If you're not fully satisfied that this book has supported you in getting what you want, just return it for a full refund.
Whether because of discomfort, lack of mobility, your lifestyle, or occupation, you sit inactively way too many hours a day. Introducing Ellipse, the premium quality automatic seated exerciser that strengthens legs, increases mobility, and boosts circulation without physical strain or impact.
It is so quiet that none of my coworkers even know I'm using it.
Strengthen and tone your legs. Increase your mobility, flexibility, and balance. Plus, stimulate healthy circulation.
My joints feel better, my knees feel better, my back feels better. It makes me feel stronger too.
Perfect for home therapy. Whisper quiet to use while you work.
My circulation is moving, I'm burning calories, and it makes me feel energetic.
Call now and order Ellipse, the seated exerciser that strengthens legs, increases mobility, and boosts circulation. Call and get upgraded to the deluxe bundle. Get the faster motor for 5 miles of steps per hour, the step counter, the sport mat, and wireless remote. Call now.
Imagine this is your money and someone wants to take it from you. Who is it? The IRS. Guess what? They want your money and they can take it, all of it if they want. Remember, they sent you that letter right over here that said, hey, you owe us a bunch of cash and we're going to take it from you right now. So what do? You fight back by letting our team of experts work it out with the IRS so you can keep your money. And hey, we're good at what we do. When you hire us, you get a team of guys on your side that know the IRS laws, and we'll fight really hard to save your money. So if you owe the IRS a ton of cash and you want to keep it, call right now and learn for free how we can help you put it back in your pocket. 5 minutes of your time right now can save you thousands of dollars. And the best part, it's a free call. So please call right now.
Hi, everyone watching at home. We're here to remind you that if you or someone you know were injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have live agents available right now to answer your questions and tell you how much your case is potentially worth. Hi, I'm Gina Belich, here with spokesman and TV personality Tom Mustin with us in the Help Center. So, Tom, phones are really busy over there. Tell us what kind of calls you're seeing.
Well, Gina, first off, thank you for having me here in the call center with you. We always enjoy talking to the viewers and getting folks the compensation that they deserve. You know, we're seeing calls about all kinds of accidents, but the most common by far has been car accidents. So if you or someone you know were injured in an accident that was not your fault, give us a call right now. You'll speak with a live person. They'll answer any questions you have and tell you if you have a case and how much your case is potentially worth.
Thanks, Tom. All right, folks at home, you heard it. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now.
And I want to thank all of my audience for being here and listening to us today. You know, this show works because you make it work. So I hope you continue to seek, see the unseeable, know the unknowable, and do the impossible. It all starts, as JD would say, is changing your mind. Start to look at things in a different light, and you'll be amazed at what you see. Take care. Until next time, have a blessed week. Well, hello and welcome. This is your host, Ken D. Foster. It's really glad to have you on the show today. I know you could be doing a whole bunch of things, but it's great that you're tuning into this. A lot of you believe that you see reality clearly. But I've been coaching people for over 30 years and have to say a lot of people do not see reality clearly. When I start out coaching somebody, I usually give them a little evaluation and I just ask them things like on a scale of 1 to 10, how is your financial life? How is your health? How is your relationship with the ones that you love? How is your friendships? You know, we go down this list, right? And inevitably, most people that walk at least into my door have, you know, anywhere from 3s to maybe 7s or 8s in those areas. And why is that? Is it because that they've made poor choices along the way? Well, yes. But is it because maybe they didn't know what I would say is truth for them? They didn't get the truth, so they made poor choices, poor errors in their thinking, which resulted in suffering, pain, misery, challenges for them. And, you know, on the other side, you know, we learn from things, we grow, we evolve in that piece. That's wonderful. But what if you could make better choices? What if you could have plans in your life and be able to see things and be able to use deductive reasoning in a greater way? Be able to see what others don't see, right? And be able to make choices that would really empower your life. Well, that's what the show is all about today. Today is we're calling it The Courage to See Reality Clearly. And you won't want to miss this show. I've got a great guest that has been a friend of mine for decades. We're going to bring him on because he sees things different than most anybody. And he lives a life of human excellence. I'll be right back with my guest, and we'll get the conversation going.
Are you ready to transform your life and get what you really want? Hi, this is Ken D. Foster, and over the past 30 years, I've helped thousands of people change the course of their lives by doing one special thing daily. This is the foundation of my latest book, The Courage to Change Everything. It is the ultimate guide to awakening the transformative power within you to get what you want. In this book, I'll teach you exactly how to unlock your hidden potential, break through your limitations, and get what you want, no matter what's happening in the economy or things beyond your control. So why wait? Get your copy of The Courage to Change Everything right now at couragetochange.us, that's couragetochange.us. There's no risk to you if you're not fully satisfied that this book has supported you in getting what you want, just to return it for a full refund.
Whether because of discomfort, lack of mobility, your lifestyle, or occupation, you sit inactively way too many hours a day. Introducing Ellipse, the premium quality automatic seated exerciser that strengthens legs, increases mobility, and boosts circulation without physical strain or impact.
It is so quiet that none of my coworkers even know I'm using it.
Strengthen and tone your legs. Increase your mobility, flexibility, and balance. Plus, stimulate healthy circulation.
My joints feel better, my knees feel better, my back feels better. It makes me feel stronger too.
Perfect for home therapy. Whisper quiet to use while you work.
My circulation is moving, I'm burning calories, and it makes me feel energetic.
Call now and order Ellipse, the seated exerciser that strengthens legs, increases mobility, and boosts circulation. Call and get upgraded to the deluxe bundle. Get the faster motor for 5 miles of steps per hour, the step counter, the sport mat, and wireless remote. Call now.
Hi, this is your host, Ken D. Foster. I'll be right back with my guest, J.D. Mumma. But before we get there, I want to let you know that there are family members out there, there are friends, there are business associates, there are people that would really benefit from hearing this show. So I hope that you will pass this show on to them. And also, please go to our YouTube page and subscribe to the Voices of Courage show so you don't miss any shows. Thank you. All right, JD, we are back and we are on number 12 right now.
Yes. And that is to be skeptical. And skeptical, I always thought, I mean, just to take a step back for a second. This is all, you know, I didn't learn this in high school or anything. I've spent, you know, well over a decade learning these things that I had no idea even existed. I thought skeptical meant dismissive. And really what skeptical means is you don't have enough evidence to accept it yet. You're wanting to remain open, possible, but you're not accepting or rejecting. You're kind of hit the pause button, so to speak, and you'd like to gather some more information. And so that would be post-justices rather than pre-judge. So prejudice is your prejudging, and post-judging is post-justices. So you're judging things afterwards, not before. Assumptions and all that. Uncertainty, you're having uncertainty. I'm not sure. Hesitation, reflection, being reserved, rather than to be not skeptical, to be prejudiced, to be credulous, have certitude, to be hyper-confident about something. I know this is true. To be pseudo-skeptical, there's a lot of, people that they may seem like they're skeptical, but when you actually ask them questions, you realize that there's biases. And so that could be bigotry, xenophobia, stereotyping, discrimination, and not just humans, but information as well for all of those. Number 13, divergent versus convergent. So divergent would be non-linear thinking, lateral thinking, variety responses. And back to the school system, a lot of us are taught this kind of convergent thinking, that they're kind of limited mindset versus, and this is a divergency is one of the indications of whether someone is qualified as kind of as a genius. Generally people that are pretty smart, and I wouldn't say genius or not genius, that's, you know, binary thinking, but they tend to have more variety in their thinking rather than narrow, this is the one thing. So convergent would be limited options, single response minded. And then number 14 is respectful and helpful versus pushy. A lot of people have ideas and they want you to basically, some people kind of knock on the door, they want to sell you their version of how the world exists for this life and beyond and that kind of things. And I always ask them if they're willing to have an open dialogue versus a monologue that they accept maybe things that I have to offer, or they just want me to accept what they have to offer because they know and have found the truth. And I haven't, obviously, and they just have to fill my head with their beliefs.
There we have it. Well, I sure run across a lot of folks like that over the years, and I bet you have too. But NASA did a study a while back, and they studied their engineers and scientists, and they were looking for their ability to problem solve and creative thinking. And it was very successful for them. In fact, it was so successful that they decided to take that exact test and apply it to children. And they studied children between the ages of 1 and 3 years old. And what their conclusion was that between 1 and 3 years old, about 98% of the kids were described in their study as genius. They were genius. Then they followed those kids until they were 5. And those kids, only 30% of them had tested, you know, with the creative problem solving abilities and what have you, as genius. So went from 98% to 30%, and then they tested adults, and about 2% of us are considered, quote, genius. I think a lot of that has to do with this convergent way of thinking, and some of the areas that you've touched on, is that we're almost programming our creative abilities, or dumbing down our creative abilities and our problem-solving abilities because of the way that we're socialized into these systems. So what I'm hearing you offer here is a way for people to really go through this checklist and start to do as you did and I did. You know, it's start to even look up the words in JD's checklist here, because many of these words, like you brought up the point, skepticism or being a skeptic is something negative, as opposed to what the real definition of the term is, so that people can actually start to understand how they can start to maybe open up their thinking in ways that will really support them. What do you say about what I just commented on?
Oh, I completely agree. I mean, you can look up, there's a TED Talk by Sir Kenneth Robinson, one of the most popular TED Talks, not TEDx, but a TED, real TED, or they're both real. The major one, and one of the most popular. He discusses about the study, I think, that you're referring to, that they studied. I'll give you a simple example, and this might be the one he gives in the talk, that asked the children, okay, question like, how many different ways can you imagine a paperclip? And a child might say, oh, well, it's made out of orange styrofoam. It's about 30 feet tall and it can walk around. It's like, wow, how many adults are going to think of a paperclip like that, right? They're going to think, oh, okay, you know, maybe you could get unlock, you know, a door or something, but they're not going to think, oh, wow, I never thought, you know, it has big bright eyes and it's, you know, can jump and So that's thinking sort of, another term for that would be thinking outside of the box. It's often used, but I prefer divergent.
You know, and we're actually, you know, well, the way the school system was initially set up, it was to train people to give them enough education to be able to work in factories. And to be able to do, you know, one, you know, maybe put in five screws, you know, and send it on down the assembly line. So it was, right. You know, we're not in that age anymore. And yet we have a society that is very polarized. And I think a lot of the reason we're polarized is because people have lost the ability to think creatively, be able to understand one another, be able to be there for one another. And you know, a lot of these pieces that you mentioned, you know, respect, you know, a sense of you know, being empathetic, you know, getting out of our laziness and really trying to understand instead of just having biases. Let me ask you about biases, man. Biases, how does one know they have a bias? That's a good one.
Yeah. In fact, so I recently counted, there's a Wikipedia page that has biases in. Wikipedia is not 100% reliable. It is, depending on what it is. They've actually tested against universities and things, so it's pretty reliable. I know a lot of people will dismiss Wikipedia, but their list is about 200. So there are very common ones. We're not constantly using the 200 on a daily basis, but there's probably 20 or 30 or so that we use on a regular basis that, and the best way is, I would say, probably just go to the Wikipedia page and start to look and say, there's also not just biases, but there also, we also use what's called cognitive delusions. So there's a list, and that list, there was a, not recalling his name right now, a psychologist that noticed his clients that were depressed, specifically. He noticed over the years that they had similar patterns, and he termed these as cognitive distortions. So there's, he maybe initially said there was 5 or 7. There's maybe some people have 14 or 20 list. But it's not a list of 200. You can look up cognitive distortions. And so it's just distorting reality. Like you might have all or nothing thinking or slippery slope. You know, it's just going to get worse from here. And so we get into this mindset, we're not realizing that we're using mental models. So we're using frameworks or models that just kind of knee-jerk kick in without us knowing. And so just becoming aware of the definitions, the descriptions, and that kind of stuff, we'll start to realize, oh, you know, I noticed this in my friend. And what typically people do is they'll say, oh, you know, my wife does this. Oh, my boss does this. How about looking in the mirror? You know, it's easier. It's so much easier to point out somebody else's biases and behavior and distortions and fallacies and that. But we all use them to varying degrees. We might, you know, not use these 5, but we use these 8. Becoming familiar.
And the mental biases create, like I said at the top of the show, create delusion, pain, suffering, misery. It hurts us when we have these biases many times.
Right.
And, you can always find somebody to support your bias. I know, my biases, I know most of them. And some of them I'm still blind to. But, I know that when I have one, I'm going to find a whole bunch of people to support it, right? And it right. seems like those people, sure. places, things, when I'm committed to it, the people, places, and things start showing up. Yeah, this is the way it is, Ken.
Right.
When it may be totally off, right? Totally off. I think what I love is, we're going in the economy. We go through ups and downs, right? And we tend to globalize that, the whole economy is going to collapse now because so-and-so said it was. And you look at it and you go, well, this industry over here is like thriving. They thrive in down economies. And this one over here is thriving. But people tend to go with this, like you said, kind of the group think or the, I forgot what you said, but, they're the herd mentality, I guess.
Tribe, yeah. And
tribal. And we just want to stick with a tribe knows what they're doing. Well, does it really? I think we have to really look at that. All right, listen, I got to take another break. When we get back, I want to take a little dive into how we attain and keep mental excellence. All right, here we go.
Are you ready to transform your life and get what you really want? Hi, this is Ken D. Foster, and over the past 30 years, I've helped thousands of people change the course of their lives by doing one special thing daily. This is the foundation of my latest book, The Courage to Change Everything. It is the ultimate guide to awakening the transformative power within you to get what you want. In this book, I'll teach you exactly how to unlock your hidden potential, break through your limitations, and get what you want, no matter what's happening in the economy or things beyond your control. So why wait? Get your copy of The Courage to Change Everything right now at couragetochange.us. That's couragetochange.us. There's no risk to you if you're not fully satisfied that this book has supported you in getting what you want, just to return it for a full refund.
Welcome back, everybody. This is your host, Ken D. Foster. I'm speaking with my friend, one of my mentors, and the founder of Human Excellence. JD, let's talk about mental excellence and what is it? First of all, what is mental excellence? Why is it important?
There's so many areas of what I did was I looked around and I thought, how best could I serve humanity? What would be next? What was it? Wells in some foreign country? Was it food supply? Was it decreasing nuclear weapons? Was it what could I best apply myself and who could I join? And what I realized was that all of our problems, or nearly, I shouldn't say 100%, that would be binary thinking, that almost all of our problems correlate to poor thinking. And then I started to look, okay, who's out there teaching about poor thinking and how we can resolve that? There must be people out there. And I was surprised because this is such a massive problem that there really wasn't anybody teaching what I've come to see as the four main areas of mental excellence, which is mental control. And there are various things. Meditation is just one type of control. And mental health, mental self-defense, which very, very hard to find anyone teaching that, and mental performance. And like something under mental performance might be memory technique, speed reading, speed learning. So in order to truly have mental excellence, you kind of need to be a well-rounded person. Also, just simply like under mental health, would be protecting your brain. We go bike riding and wear a helmet. So it's not just cognitive things, it's also physical things. Are we ingesting things that might be have heavy metals in our drinking water or food or pesticides, which can include herbicides, insecticides, fungicides, all that under that category of pesticides. So that we might be consuming things that affect our brain, might have parasites in our brain. There's any number of things, viruses could affect us. And so needing to be well-rounded, just like a good athlete is not just flexible. They've got to have power and strength and endurance and many different things, skills, specific skill sets. So when it comes to the mind, but the mind is a lot bigger of a category than even anything that I could understand about when I studied the body and biology and physiology and peak performance physically. So does that give you a rundown?
Well, let me ask you this. So when somebody says, oh, you know what, I first of all, some of my audience has never heard of mental self-defense. People think in terms of mental health, they go to therapists and practitioners to help them to get mental health, or they take, some nutrition or pharmacy drugs to achieve mental health. What we're really talking about is a holistic approach that will, I'm not saying to throw out what your doctor says, but I'm saying that you got to take one of JD's first, the 14 steps was responsibility. And I think once we take 100% responsibility for our lives, everything starts to change. All right. So mental excellence, right? Let's, what is mental self-defense? Let me go into that one first.
Oh, all right. So we are, so there's three areas. One is the input of information and whether we're defended or not. So you can imagine whether you're, a lot of people, when it comes to their mind, they are like the story of Troy and the Trojan horse. So I used to correlate this a lot when I would talk about nutrition, that a lot of foods are what I would deem as or label as Trojan horse foods. So the story was is that, and no determination yet as to whether it was true or not, that the people that were trying to get past a city gates built a wooden horse, and it was hollow inside. So, planks or however they put it. And what was inside were soldiers with weapons. Yet they roll it up to the city and offered it as a gift. Like, okay, we'll put down our arms. Here's a gift, and so they thought, oh, this is a nice gift. They brought it in, closed the gate. And at night, the soldiers came out and took over the city. So a lot of our food looks like a gift, seems like a gift, and just all great, and the same is with information. So we're taking in things that, oh, well, that looks good, that seems good, that seems reasonable, that matches, but we're not realizing that how we're evaluating can have a lot of errors. And so we're consuming information. We also attained information that's already in our brain, that what's called priors, things that are already recorded in our mind, and storing with that new information. So we're not defended with the information already in there. So we could have all kinds of different mental malware, that there's all different types of viruses and Trojans and different things we can get into, but that are in there. And then the output of information is the rhetoric. So we need to protect ourselves and others from what's in our mind. So those are the three main areas: input, and then the management of what's inside, and then the output.
Wow. Okay. And then we have, we've got about two more minutes left on the show. So I want to first of all tell people that my listening audience, you can go to humanexcellence.com, humanexcellence.com to find out about JD over there, or you can also go to JD.M. Actually, you can email JD Mumma at jd.m@humanexcellence.com. jd.m@humanexcellence.com. And JD will be more than happy to answer your questions around some of the subjects that we've talked about today. There's just a lot of information, JD, and we can take a deep dive into each one of those areas and go deep. But I think the main thing that I wanted to get across my audience today is that there's some work to do. There's some work to do. We have to start getting out of our own biases, getting out of our own programming that society has installed in us, which create those biases, to be able to start to get back to that level of, I guess we'd call it convergent thinking, where we can really expand how we think, what we think, when we think, and use the tool, this God-given, beautiful tool of the mind, in a way that will create more happiness, more joy, more health, more vitality, better connections with one another, and so much more. That's what I wanted my audience to get from you today, and I think they did. Final thoughts, JD?
Oh, yeah, it's taken me a long time to even comprehend this. You can probably notice my eyes were not directly at the camera, but off on the screen behind so I could read, because it's a lot to take in. And, you know, I could probably make this list of 14 available to download or to your clients to help them have that contrast and just, be nice to yourself. But have some courage. It takes some courage to step back and go, you know what? Maybe I don't know. Maybe what I'm thinking is been tainted. Maybe I have some biases. Maybe I should question more. Maybe I should listen to some people that have the opposite perspective. One time I was given a lecture seminar at Whole Foods, and the nurse was like, "Oh, that's not true. That's not true about milk." And I said, "Well, let me," and the audience got upset with it. I said, I can take care of this. And I explained to her my process that, you know, I'd only heard all the good things about milk my whole life. And I hadn't, and I realized, well, you really haven't done the research here, because milk does a body good and the pyramid and all that. And when I started to look, I said, why don't you take a look and hear from people that think it's horrible, people that think, well, sometimes it's okay, sometimes it's not. And then once you've gathered all that information, make a decision, because I realized I hadn't done that. Afterwards, she came up and thanked me and hugged me and apologized. It was all good. So she didn't understand, the process that I had gone through. So that was a good.
I get it. Well, it takes some work, man. It takes some work. Yeah. All right, brother. I got to run.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for being here, JD. And I want to thank all of my audience for being here and listening to us today. You know, this show works because you make it work. So I hope you continue to seek, see the unseeable, know the unknowable, and do the impossible. It all starts, as JD would say, is changing your mind. Start to look at things in a different light, and you'll be amazed at what you see. Take care. Until next time, have a blessed week.